Good morning again. The court calls U.S. v. McLean. Counsel for the appellant, please.
May it please the court, Captain Matt Grady and Colonel Patricia Hand for appellant, Specialist Matthew McLean. The evidence is legally insufficient for two reasons. First, the content of the charge videos as they existed on appellant's computer in March 2008 remains unknown. Second, even assuming that the videos Agent Divini downloaded from the Nautilus network were the same videos that appellant had on his share folder, insufficient evidence as to his dominion and control still exists. Turning first to the content question, there's three areas of the joint appendix that highlight that the content of the videos as they existed on appellant's computer remains unknown. First, at JA-247, Agent Divini did not personally view or play the four charge videos, as that was not possible in his software application. Second, at 249, he did not download any of the four charge videos. Even though he attempted to do so, he was unsuccessful for some reason. And this is despite the fact during the same undercover session, he downloaded two videos directly from the appellant, neither of which contained child pornography, and 90% of a third video that appellant was not charged with possessing.
But counsel, all of that's true, but didn't, in this case, the agent testify that the size, title, and SHA-1 were the same, and under our standard of review, giving the weight most favorable to the government, you know, isn't that a reasonable conclusion that they can make?
No, Your Honor, I believe the lack of evidence is shown by an example, and I'll use the example a military judge used at 212 involving the movie Chicago. Essentially, the government charged appellant with possessing the movie Chicago, and as proof, they brought in H. Divini to say that I went out on the tele-network and I downloaded Chicago. And then also, appellant told Agent Smith, yes, I downloaded a video titled Chicago. The problem, Your Honor, is, and you can make the title as long as you want, you could say it's Chicago, the greatest city in the U.S., every citizen should visit three times, and here's all the 10 things they should do. None of that shows that the content that Agent Divini downloaded from the internet was the same content that appellant had on his computer, taking into effect that they had titles, the sizes were the same. For example, scene selections might be different, or never before scenes are on one, not the other. And as far as the significance of the hash value or the SHA value, once you remove the statistical significance behind that, you're just left with a random bunch of string of numbers, 32 numbers. We don't know if they're supposed to match or not supposed to match. And I would say this, Your Honor, it would require expertise to even find the hash value to begin with. At 89 and 122, Agent Divini talked about how he had to run this SIL hash software application to even locate this 32 string. And that's certainly different from a car where a police officer can find a VIN number, or a weapon where he can find a serial number. It takes expertise to even locate this string of numbers.
How do you deal with appellant's statement, which someone would describe as a confession?
Your Honor, it's a statement. However, in this statement, you are still not going to get that the content matched. For example, Agent Smith never showed appellant the four charge videos to verify, are these the same ones that you downloaded? This is what Agent Divini said that you had on your computer. Or, for example,
is that required? Can you confess to an offense without somebody else seeing the offense?
No, Your Honor. I think there's a couple of ways the government could have proved their case. Number one, they could have just had Agent Divini directly download the four charge videos from appellant. If he didn't do that, they could have had appellant list out the content of the four charge videos so then you can compare the content.
Why does the agent's testimony not corroborate appellant's statement?
Well, the only thing you'll get from the statement, Your Honor, is that he downloaded titles that he believed were child pornography. And even looking at this from a providency inquiry, if an appellant comes into court and says that I downloaded child pornography, even though the judge explained the legal definition of child pornography, you still need the beef. You still need the contents to compare and determine if it does, in fact, have minors engaging in sexually explicit conduct.
Counsel, his actual statement was, after the agent showed him the names of the files, he said, I know that I downloaded those files while I was in Hawaii. I don't recall the names now. And if you take that statement along with the agent's testimony that the size, title, and however, the SHA-1, whatever, however you pronounce that. Why isn't the agent's testimony then, why doesn't that raise an inference of the truth of the confession, which is all that is necessary to corroborate?
Sure, Your Honor. No matter how you stack up the inferences stop at the lack of content. I believe the critical question was asked by the military judge at JA 279 and 280, where he asked Agent Smith, did you guys ever talk about what was in the individual files? And Agent Smith said, no, whatever. He gave a non-responsive answer, but basically said, what is in the statement is what we talked about. And again, from the statement, there is no description of the content, so we can compare that to what are the videos that Agent Davini downloaded to compare, and this, they're the same. And as far as the string is concerned, even looking at 198, I'd like to point out the video file titled beginning with Little Girls, also known by the Shaw Value CCH5. Now, appellant wasn't charged with possessing this video, but the military judge admitted in evidence, and what's interesting is in the appellant's share folder, it was approximately 46.5 megabytes. However, in the files downloaded from Agent Davini, it was 46.4 megabytes, even though at 193, Agent Davini said that he completely downloaded this file from LimeWire. So there's even examples where the sizes don't match up. But again, the government wants you to take all these inferences and conclude that the content is the same. And the key discriminator is the statistical significance behind the hash value. That was readily apparent from Agent Davini's Article 39A testimony, where he talks about, in response to the military judge's questions, he knows they're the same because of the digital signature and fingerprint of a file. And for example, if you change the pixel, the Shaw value will be different, but not necessarily the title, the size, and the file type. And he also talked about how file names are routinely changed by users, and there was multiple examples of Hotel California or Kansas Football. And it's because of the fact that the titles and the size and the file type is not the key discriminator. That's why at 47, the ICAC maintains a list by hash value and not by the other characteristics.
It may not be the chief discriminator, but it isn't enough to reach the rather low standard of legal sufficiency.
No, Your Honor, because there is no verification that the content is the same. You can take all the inferences as long as you want, but there's no guarantee that the content Agent Davini downloaded is the same.
We're not talking about guarantees. We're talking about legal sufficiency.
Well, Your Honor, even looking at the titles themselves, the titles are probative of what the content is. And Agent Davini recognized that at 75, where he said the files are not indicative of the content. And at 186 and 187, the military judge sustained an objection that the file names are indicative of the content. All we know is that Agent Davini downloaded two files from appellant, neither of which contained contraband. Now, even assuming for the sake of argument that the content is the same, insufficient evidence of dominion and control still exists. For example, we still do not know when the files were first downloaded, when they were last accessed, were they categorized in a different folder outside of the LimeWire share folder, and it's without this forensic evidence that it's difficult for the government to show that appellant intentionally sought this material and repeatedly viewed it. And for example, Agent Davini's testimony even supports appellant. For example, appellant at 303 testified that he simply clicked next during the download wizard when downloading LimeWire. And Agent Davini during the 39A at 40 and 41 says that the default in LimeWire is to download information to your share folder if you just click next during the installation.
Counsel, didn't McLean state that once I downloaded them and viewed them? Now, that sounds like exercising control and dominion over the files to me.
Well, Your Honor, I would say it's no different from Navarstad, where in Navarstad, the appellant also viewed the material. And so here, taking the inferences that appellant viewed the material, there's no additional forensic to show that he accessed the share folder on multiple dates or that he even knew about the existence of the share folder, since he stated he never looked at the images again and also testified that he deleted the images, he said. And this case is similar to Kaczynski and Flyer in that there is no evidence appellant was a sophisticated computer user, no evidence that he accessed or manipulated these videos in his share folder. And that makes it distinguishable from ROM, where the accused in ROM enlarged these videos, and even though he deleted them, he knew where they were at, he knew they were accessible, and there was even evidence that they could be copied, printed, and emailed. Here, the only person who tried to access this material was Agent Davini, and of course, he was unsuccessful. And that's why I point out that what happened here is similar to the example shown in Navarstat, where this court looked to 112 alpha for the definition of possession, and they said that one example of constructive possession is where an accused hides contraband in a locker and goes back later to retrieve it. Here, we don't know exactly what was in the locker. An appellant testified that he did not even know something was located in the locker. And of course, there's no forensic evidence to show that he went back and accessed this material in his locker. The bottom line, Your Honor, is there are several unknown contingencies that still exist. For example, what's the actual content of the videos? Were they operable on his computer? Or were they corrupt? Or do they contain viruses, as Agent Davini said was possible? Did the accused even have the right media player? At 260, Agent Davini testified that he had downloaded files before that could not play, and he received an error message stating, "Do not have codecs to play file," which he stated could mean that the file was corrupted or he lacked the right media player. Finally, was it the whole file? Was it part of the file? And why wasn't Agent Davini unable to download these four files? Adding all this up, Your Honor, it shows an incomplete investigation on the government's part. And this incomplete investigation leads to insufficient evidence. There could have been sufficient evidence had he downloaded it directly from appellant, had Aiden Smith showed the videos to appellant to have him verify those were the videos, or to have an outside computer forensic examiner testify as an expert, review Agent Davini's work, and testify about the statistical significance of hash values. Subject to your questions, I'll leave the rest of my time to rebuttal.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government.
Good morning, Chief Judge Baker, members of the court, may it please the court. My name is Captain Frank Kosick, and along with Major LeJean White, we represent the United States in this matter. The evidence is legally sufficient to find appellant guilty of possessing four specific videos of child pornography because the government connected the admitted videos to appellant through the testimony of Special Agent Smith, Special Agent Davini, and through the appellant's own confession.
Counsel, why didn't they just qualify Davini as an expert and save everybody all this trouble, or could he have been qualified as an expert?
But it appears from the record, Your Honor, that Special Agent Davini had previously said that he was not qualified as a forensic examiner, and it's possibly that that's what the government was thinking whenever they did not qualify him. However, it's very likely that Special Agent Davini would have been able to be qualified as an expert in general computing, which would have enabled him to opine on the shot value. So no good excuse, Your Honor. However, we have what we have here, and what we have is good enough.
Yeah. Well, back up just a moment. You said they admitted the videos into evidence.
Yes, Your Honor.
And those were downloaded from the Internet.
Yes, Your Honor.
How did they learn what to download from the Internet?
Yes, Your Honor. So Special Agent Davini was conducting a sting operation in which he was able to see into the share folder of the appellant's computer. He knows it was a share folder from the appellant's computer because later they subpoenaed the Internet provider and established the IP address which connected to the appellant. He was able to see into that share folder, and when he looked into that share folder, he was able to see 14 video files. All those 14 video files had file names indicative of child pornography. He was unable to download, of course, the four charged videos directly from the appellant, but he was able to identify the long title. He was able to identify this long 32-digit alphanumeric code, the size that was, in fact, the video. And so he just went out on the Internet and said, "Hey, I took these characteristics. I went out and I found videos that matched these characteristics." And those, of course, are the videos that he admitted at trial.
Okay, now, from that, could a rational finder of fact find beyond a reasonable doubt that the videos he downloaded from the Internet were the same videos that he found in the appellant's computer?
Yes, Your Honor. And so, applying the standard as set forth in Jackson and in this court recently.
I think, Judge Cox, when you said yes, then you're going to explain why, right?
I'll be delighted.
It's not a surprise that the answer is yes, but I think he was interested in the rest of the analysis.
Yes, Your Honor. So, in this case, the videos alone admitted even without the confession or not, but the government established their relevance. The relevance was established. Special Agent Divini said, I saw these videos in his share folder on a particular date. I went out and I found copies. The military judge admitted those copies under the basic standard that, hey, they are what the government says they are. We've established their relevance because they were from his computer. Of course, they're the charged videos. And Special Agent Divini testifies, I see him on this particular date. And so they come in. And so on that alone, Special Agent Divini's testimony established that he had videos, and those videos, which this court can review and which the trial court reviewed, did in fact contain child pornography. But we have more than that in this case.
Well, before you leave that, though, what evidence establishes beyond a reasonable doubt that that was appellant's computer and that he exercised dominion and control over that computer?
Yes, Your Honor. So we know it was the appellant's computer, so we can look to a couple of different places in the record for the court to draw the inferences in light most favorable to the government to know it was the appellant's computer. One, the appellant admits that he did, in fact, download 4 videos of child pornography while he was stationed in Hawaii. The government admitted the ERB, which establishes that he was in Hawaii in March of 2008. And, of course, Special Agent Divini says, I was able to see into his share drive, which was online, which is the only way I could see it, online, in March 2008. And I could see those videos in there.
But how do we know that was his computer in Hawaii and not his roommate's?
Well, appellant admits both on the record at trial and...
Okay, so there's an admission that it was his computer.
He doesn't admit that it was his computer. He admits that he had 3 computers. And he admits that one of those computers was connected to the internet on that date. And it's the government's position, when viewing the light in the most favorable to the government, that we can infer that it was his computer that was connected to the internet.
Now, were they password protected?
It was not password protected, Your Honor. And of course, appellant makes that argument in his brief, but asserts and points to no case that in order to establish that the appellant, that it was in fact the appellant's computer, that it had to somehow be password protected. And we need not look further than the sworn statement where the appellant says, it was me who downloaded the 4 videos of child pornography. And it was me who reviewed them. He doesn't say my roommate did it or someone else in the barracks did it. He said it was him. And so from that, of course, this court can infer, applying the liberal standard in favor of the government, that it was in fact his computer. So moving back to the standard that this court recently articulated in Oliver, the question is not whether the court is required to determine whether the evidence weighs one better or another. And that appears where the appellant focuses his argument. Don't give these videos that have been admitted any weight because there were these problems. You know, we don't have a scientific value attached to how accurate they are. And so I would merely point the court to its holding or the rule in United States v. Hart from 1987. It says, once a defendant has been found guilty of the crime charged, the fact finder's role as weigher of the evidence is preserved through a legal conclusion, and that upon review of all of the evidence, it is to be considered in the light most favorable to the prosecution. And so the fact that a trier of fact may have not given a lot of weight to those admitted videos is not relevant for this court's review. What is relevant is that they are in fact admitted, and the government did in fact connect them to Special Agent It did, in fact, connect him to the appellant. And because he connected him to the appellant, we have the confession. I admitted. I downloaded and viewed 4 videos. We have the videos, which we can look at and see that they themselves contain child pornography. And that alone establishes...
Counsel, does crime. The government see this as a confession case that is corroborated by the testimony of the agents? Or do you see it as the confession just being another element that we look at?
I believe at trial, the government viewed this as the statement as just one more brick in the wall, if you will. However, clearly, another way to view it is that the statement is a clear confession of knowing possession of child pornography, and then the agent's statements are the corroboration for it. And I don't think the we're limited on how we can affirm under legal sufficiency, merely that we can affirm on either of the 2 theories presented by the government in this brief. I'd like to address just briefly the case cited by the appellant United States v. Navarstad, for the proposition that the appellant in this case did not exercise dominion and control. Of course, Navarstad is much different in this case, because in Navarstad, no matter what happened, no matter what the appellant did, he couldn't get the child pornography. He was walled off from the child pornography. In our case, there's no dispute that the appellant had in fact a share folder on his computer, and he had access to it. The appellant in this case disputed at trial that he didn't even know what a share folder was. Now, of course, this would conflict directly with his sworn statement where he says, I downloaded and viewed child pornography. And the trial says, no, I didn't download child pornography. I didn't download four videos, and I don't know what a share folder is. So two exact opposite pieces of evidence. And I would point the court's attention when analyzing that evidence, United States v. McGinty. And in McGinty, the court says, we cannot rely on appellant's view of the record to the extent it differs from the prosecution's record. And in McGinty, of course, it was a sexual assault case. And in that sexual assault case, the appellant says, I didn't do it. The victim says, yes, you did. And they attack, right, holes in the government's case, lack of evidence. Of course, this court isn't required to just view the record through the appellant's narrow view. And as such, the court should take the confession over the in-court testimony, because the confession is what the government put forth as the evidence. And clearly, that was the evidence believed by the fact finder. And that conclusion is set in stone through a legal conclusion. Subject to additional questions from the court, because the government introduced the confession of the appellant, the testimony of Special Agent Smith, and the videos through Special Agent Devinny, this case is legally sufficient to sustain a conviction for knowing possession of child pornography.
Is there anywhere in the record as to how it works technically? In other words, if the appellant goes online and is searching around for child pornography and he spots a website where he can get it, is it temporarily downloaded on his machine for him to see it?
In the record, Your Honor, there was a 39A session held to address another issue. And during that 39A, Special Agent Divini gave a lot of testimony about how LimeWire works. Of course, that testimony was not later admitted on the merits. But to the extent your question is, you're looking for a way, a place in the record to determine how the LimeWire program works.
I'm just asking, do you have to intentionally download it into the share folder, or is it automatically downloaded in the share folder in order for you to see it?
It is it can be automatic, or it can be a setting. In this case, the evidence seems to suggest that it was automatic, but that is not dispositive. So even if it's automatic in this case, what we have is then all the files that the appellant downloaded, child pornography, adult pornography, music videos, and videos alike would have been downloaded there. And there's a suggestion from his testimony at trial that, hey, this was an automatic thing, and I didn't know what my share folder contained. Well, if that was the case, when Special Agent Vinny looked at his share folder, he would be able to see all the videos he downloaded. And the appellant testified on direct to the military judge that I went on three or four times and I downloaded regular videos. And I was going to take those videos and I was going to put them on a hard drive, and I was going to take that hard drive with me downrange to Iraq, and I was going to watch the videos down there. He never got to that second step. But we know, because of his testimony, that he did, in fact, download other videos. Well, if that's the case, then why weren't those other videos in the share folder on the day Special Agent Devinny looked? Because it wasn't until after he looked at this normal stuff that he decided that he was going to look at pornography and bizarre things. So those other videos should have been in a share folder. And because they're not, this court can infer that not only did appellant know what a share folder was, but he went into a share folder and he had manipulated to pull out those other videos.
But wouldn't it make sense that he would pull out the child porn?
Well, depending on what he wanted to do with the child porn. He left the child porn specifically in a share folder, and as this court will note, that the original charge included a charge for distribution, which was thrown out at the CCA level. So it was always the government's theory that he intended to distribute the child pornography, but he intended to take the regular movies downrange to watch with him in Iraq. Subject to your further questions, that concludes the government's argument.
Thank you, counsel. Appellant, opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. A couple of points on rebuttal. First, the only reason that Agent Davini knew how to download these files to begin with was by hash file. And that's clear at 95 and 96, and more specifically, 136, 137, and 150, and 151 of the record in response to the military judge's questions. He essentially stated that, I went out, I knew the hash value, and so I went and looked and found matching videos by hash value. There's no evidence that he would find similar files just by the file name, just by the size, and just by the file type. Second, as far as the statement goes, the statement could corroborate Agent Davini's work if appellant had put in there, or Agent Smith had asked, the content of the charge videos. For example, charge video 1 contains A, charge video 2 contains B, and so on and so forth. Then you can look at the descriptions of the content and match them up to see if they are similar to what Agent Davini downloaded from the decentralized network. Third point is that the LimeWire, as the testimony came out between appellant and Agent Davini, these videos automatically went to the shared folder of his LimeWire system, which appellant stated in Prosecution Exhibit 3 that he never viewed again. And of course, the government does not produce any forensic evidence to dispute that and to show that he downloaded it on one occasion and accessed it again on another date, 2 weeks or 2 months in the future.
Does a share folder operate so that a third party can send you something into that folder?
That's correct, Your Honor. The point of the shared folder, as explained from Agent Davini, is that you could, if you're looking for Hotel California, you can put in Hotel California, and if you have other LimeWire users online that have the complete file, then they can go ahead and upload the file from their share folder, and as it exists in this case, it went automatically into appellant's share folder. And so it looks like it was automatic action that these files came on, and there was no action by appellant subsequent to that, certainly none of the evidence that the government has produced. And the final point I'd like to make in response to whether Agent Davini could have qualified as an expert or not, it appears from the record that at 27 he was assigned to the General Crimes Division, and while he had some training on this undercover operation, at 13 and 158, the proffer was that he was not an expert in this area, and that's backed up by his actions, because you would question why couldn't an expert download 4 charge videos, and more importantly, not have a sufficient explanation for why he could or could not have succeeded in his endeavor. Finally, Your Honor, I'd just like to conclude that the only thing we know for certain in this case is that Agent Davini obtained videos containing content indicative of child pornography. What we do not have is the contents of the videos as they existed on appellant's computer to show that there's minors engaging in sexually explicit activity. Subject to your questions, we ask this court to dismiss the remaining specification of the charge.
Thank you, counsel. The court thanks both counsel for your arguments, and the case is submitted. And we will stand in recess until further order of the court.